So it's been 2 years. 2 years since what was for me a disorienting and deeply disappointing election. Many of us remember that struggle to understand the surprising outcome in the aftermath. I know it triggered in me a great concern for immigrants and people of color and LGBTQ folk, for women, the environment, and the poor, all whose rights were named targets by the winners that day. The story of our country took a sharp turn from working to uphold the rights and dignity of all to a corrosive degradation of those rights. It seems our public discourse has become more and more divisive. The president does not even pretend to serve all of the people. He manipulates emotions and fear to whip up attention. Whether positive or negative, it doesn't matter. That attention grabbing diverts us from the real issues at hand. Knowing what we know today, I can only pray, and I will vote, so that the checks will be restored on such contempt for democratic norms. As Unitarian Universalists, we are varied in our political viewpoints, but we share a common understanding of how we want to be together, to govern ourselves and promote in our communities and country. Our fifth principle states that we affirm and promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. This linking of our individual consciences, our right to think for ourselves, and then a process by which we come together to live in community, is full of tension and occasionally contradiction. I am not always going to get my way on this road to the common good. Despite this, each person's dignity and worth is respected, possibly constrained for that common good, but always with respect. Today, I want to celebrate what democracy can achieve. I want to celebrate all of you who have worked so hard these past 2 years to re-engage in the democratic process. All of the meetings and rallies and vigils and protests, calls to legislators, canvassing, testimony, and even civil disobedience. I see these as our faith in action. It is good to know I am among people who care so deeply about our democracy. Democracy is not perfect. It never has been. It needs continual defending, even when it's not working well, perhaps especially when it's not working well. Winston Churchill, who probably did as much to defend democracy in a crisis as anyone ever has, famously said, "Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others who have been tried from time to time." We defend democracy not because its outcomes are always perfect. We defend democracy because the alternatives are simply loathsome. Some of us who feel powerless and even oppressed in this country may wonder what democracy has ever done for them. Native Americans have watched as whites have taken their land, ignored treaties, and even ignored the Supreme Court. African Americans endured the political compromises that perpetuated slavery. And then they saw the laws twisted to prevent them from voting or fully participating in society. Democracy practiced in a white supremacist society acts as an instrument of oppression. It's also true that it is only within the context of democracy that the civil rights movement was possible. I can't imagine Martin Luther King Jr. sitting in a Birmingham jail under Nazi rule. Instead of writing a letter that was later published for all to read, he would have not been allowed to write or send that letter at all. It would have never been published, and he would not have been released from jail. Most likely, he would have died in prison, and there would have been no free press to allow anyone to even learn about his fate. It is only within the context of democracy that Martin Luther King Jr. and his colleagues in the civil rights movement could have succeeded. It seems important today to remind ourselves of the basics of this democracy. According to Magruder's American Government, this concept of democracy what we believe democracy means rests on these basic notions. First is the recognition of the fundamental worth and dignity of every person. Second is respect for the equality of all persons. Third, faith in majority rule and an insistence upon minority rights. Acceptance of the necessity of compromise and insistence upon the widest possible degree of individual freedom. So let's consider these in more depth. First, the worth of the individual. Democracy is based upon this belief of the importance of each person. Each individual, no matter what their station in life, is a separate and distinct being. The dignity and worth of the individual has overriding importance. At times, the welfare of one or a few individuals will be subordinated in the interests of the many, however. People in a democratic society can be forced to do certain things like pay taxes, register for the draft, or stop at a stop sign. When a society insists upon such behavior, it's intended to serve the interests of many. When we open our minds and hearts to new requests for basic human rights, for dignity, and for respect, it's not for the sake of political correctness. It is to live into this ideal of the importance of each individual, to ensure that their human rights as beings, as citizens, are protected. Along with this belief in the worth of the individual, democracy stresses the equality of all. It says all are created equal. Being equal does not imply equality of condition for all persons. We are not all born with the same abilities or desires. And it also doesn't hold that we have a right to share equally of worldly goods. The concept, equality, means that every person is entitled to equality of opportunity and equality before the law. This holds that no person should be held back for arbitrary reasons such as those based on race, color, religion, or gender. It states that each person must be free to develop themselves as fully as they wish, and that each person should be treated as the equal of all other persons under the law. The goal of equality for all is still a work in progress. We are still a considerable distance from a genuine, universally recognized and respected equality for all of America's people. In a democracy, the will of the people and not the dictate of the ruling few determines public policy. But finding out what is the popular will and how it is determined is an important question. The device we use is that of majority rule. Democracy holds that a majority will be right more often than it will be wrong, and that the majority will also be right more often than one person or small group might be. This means that it's everyone's job to convince one another of the best way to proceed and to solve problems through discourse. This is the engagement that precedes voting. The hope is that together we can find more satisfactory solutions to our problems. Democracy simply cannot work without that principle of majority rule. Unchecked, a majority would destroy its opposition and in the process destroy the democracy itself. That's why it also requires a restraint, that majority rule be restrained by minority rights. The majority must always be willing to listen to a minority's argument, to hear its objections, to bear its criticisms, and to welcome its suggestions. And then there's the necessity of compromise. In a democracy, public decision-making is largely a matter of give and take among the various competing interests. It is a matter of compromise in order to find the position most acceptable to the largest number. Compromise is the process of blending and adjusting competing views and interests. It demands that we listen to all sides of a question and seek a better way forward. It should be clear that democracy can thrive only in an atmosphere of individual freedom. However, complete freedom for an individual is not an option either. This system requires that each individual must be free to do as they please as far as the freedom of all will allow. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that this to say about the relative nature of each individual's rights. The right to swing my fist ends where the other man's nose begins. Drawing the line between the right of one individual and those of another is not easy. Still, the drawing of that line is a continuous and vitally important function of a democratic government. As John F. Kennedy put it, the rights of every person are diminished when the rights of one person are threatened. The rights of the individual are upheld by the duties and responsibilities of every citizen. The duties of a citizen must fulfill include obeying the law, going to school, paying taxes. These duties are to the benefit of all. For example, our taxes fund essential government responsibilities such as infrastructure, public schools, police, and fire departments. Duties are required of every citizen, while responsibilities are those things that are strongly encouraged. It is the responsibility of every citizen over the age of 18 to vote. It's also the responsibility of all citizens to be active in their community, to exert their influence, and express the will of the people upon a democratic government. So those are the basics. They demonstrate that democracy is a participatory process limited by our willingness to engage in it, to demand our rights and exercise our duties and responsibilities for the common good. It's clear that not everyone in the United States is committed to this form of government. A significant portion of the population prefers a more direct and authoritarian form of government. They are more interested in their own rights than the rights of others. With unchecked money and the will to use fear to manipulate people, we stand on the verge of tyranny. As Tony and Rich reminded us, the corruption of this democratic system is deeply connected to the power money has in the process today. As this election season has heated up well past boiling point, the dueling billionaires fueling divisive and ugly advertising prove my point. Elections, it seems, can now be bought. Corporations and the wealthy 1% spend enormous amounts of money to influence campaigns across this country. They do their best to get even more power and wealth for themselves through gerrymandering and voter suppression tactics. Yet at the heart of a democracy is still the principle of one person, one vote. Preserving human dignity and the right of conscience for each of those persons is bedrock to this system. And yes, it is aspirational and never fully done, but it is our work to do. At the heart of this faith and this democratic process is our desire to preserve human rights and promote the common good. You remember in school learning that the government has three branches. There's the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. But there is a fourth one. That is we, the people. All together, we argue and debate how best to serve the whole. Abraham Lincoln reminds us that the legitimate object of government is to do for a community of people whatever they need to have done, but cannot do at all or cannot do so well for themselves in their separate and individual capacities. Democracy requires us to keep an eye upon that common good and be involved in the process. It's only through hard and sustained work, through listening and compromising, through valuing every person, through overcoming the impulse towards tribalism, through defending our norms and values that democracy can survive. Upon exiting the Constitutional Convention, Ben Franklin reportedly was asked what kind of government the new country would have, and he replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." Today, I'm concerned that it is indeed slipping from our grasp. I still think the best thing about that 2016 election is that those of us who lost woke up and began to engage in the process again. I see so much hope in this uprising. The number of women and minorities running for office is extraordinary. We are filling the pipeline with amazing, skilled people willing to serve at every level of government. For their protection and for all of us of whatever political stripe, I want our discourse to step back from the ugly threats and attacks that I'm seeing right now in political ads. No one should have to be subjected to that kind of slander. The fact that this climate of divisiveness is fueled by those big money interests is further concerning. The internet and all the screens we watch or read are amplifying the hate and making constructive compromise and discourse less possible. The screens create an illusion that we are engaged, when in fact we are not. If ever there was a moment to step away from all that bombardment of misinformation, now is that moment. Instead, go talk to a neighbor. Get to know them. Get to know what concerns their hearts and why. Share your story and your heart too. Demonstrate the respect for each person's dignity and worth and demand that others do the same. I know that the hill seems impossibly long and steep right now. The climb is long and filled with possibility and disappointment. But it is so beautifully dignified. When we stand within these principles, we know who we are and what we are here to defend and engage in. The true patriot will understand that hate has no home in this system. It is give and take and shared responsibility. Democracy will remain our process of governing if only we take up our part in its work. So let's get ready. Understand the system and principles it's built upon. Get set. Get to know each other's needs and concerns and make them your own. Participation in community is a responsibility we cannot abandon and expect the system to work for us. And then finally, one more time, like you really mean it, this Tuesday, say it with me all together.